Welcome to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting and Regular Public Board of Education Meeting for January 22nd, 2019. Call to order. Opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the board, the Borough Hall, and the Manasquan in the schools within the time limits prescribed. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll now have the oath of offices for our new board members, Donna Bassone, and our Brielle representative, Dennis Ingolia.
You did it!
All right.
Can I please ask Mrs. Bassone and Mr. Ingolia to stand? Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, please state your name.
I, Donna Bassone.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I, please state your name.
I, Donna Bassone.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of member of a Board of Education.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the office of member of a Board of Education.
I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19:4-1. Am not disqualified due to conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA 18A:12-1.
I am not disqualified as a voter pursuant to RS-19:4-1. I am not disqualified due to conviction of a crime or offense listed in NJSA 18A:12-1.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office according to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Thank you and congratulations.
Okay, our mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes it appears members of our audience at the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is then placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I skipped roll call.
Sandy?
Mr. Balderman.
Here.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Here.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mr. Hobbiter.
Here.
Mr. Ingolia.
Here.
Mr. Loffredo. Mrs. McGarry.
Here.
Mrs. Pollock. Mr. Serino. Mr. Warren.
Here.
Finn Quozzo. Kennedy Miller. Mary Mills.
Here.
Casey Campbell. We have quorum.
Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of December 11, 2018, and a reorganization meeting and closed executive session of January 3, 2019. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reason for discussing and acting on the matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes? Mr. Balderman?
Second.
Mr. Hogender?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassan?
Yes, to December 11th and abstained from January 3rd. I wasn't here.
Mr. Burns?
Yes, as to January 3rd.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hobiner?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
I did not attend either meeting, so I believe an abstention is proper.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie.
We now move to our student board representatives. Mary, do you have anything to report today?
Nope.
Okay.
I just heard.
Okay.
Do we need to approve that?
No, I don't
believe so.
No,
that
in the minutes.
No, we okay. Now time for our presentations.
Yep. Oh, hold on. Mr. Catani?
Yeah.
Excuse me. She didn't hear you properly.
Oh, okay.
She does have something to report. I'm so
all right.
Sorry.
Now for the presentation.
She asked me a question first. I'm sorry.
So speaking from student council, this past December, we just closed on our poinsettia fundraiser. We raised a lot of money from that. Currently, we're working on sophomore signing coming up in March. Basically, that's all we're working on for now. Can talk about benchmarks. So some of the pros that we were talking about, some pros were that we liked how it was split up. So the finals weren't too, like, congested with much information, so it was better that it was split up. It made it easier to study and stuff. But the cons, I guess the short notice was kind of difficult to adjust to, but we are the guinea pigs because after the schedule change, but I'm sure it'll work out, like, next year and stuff in the future. Like, when we have our finals, we usually have the finals, and then, like, you'll take it, and then you'll go home, like, whatever you're studying. But this year, we had to take a benchmark, and then we had the two classes after, and then we had to take another benchmark, and then two classes after. So, like, that was kind of stressful, managing all of our time with, like, still having classes with it. And then people were just concerned about exemptions because a lot of people worked hard and they had an A in the class, but they didn't have any, like, they weren't allowed to be exempt. So that was just a concern, but that's basically what I have.
Thank you.
The intention of benchmarks were so that, like, when you focused on not having to have the whole year's worth of work done, and carrying a percentage, a small percentage, for the class for that particular marking period, because it's not a midterm exam. It's just a bigger test or bigger assessment or project, so that we have a cutoff point sort of at a mark in the curriculum, so you don't have all of that to remember to the end.
Yeah.
So it was 15% of a marking period grade. And you can fault me for not letting you guys go home after your benchmarks, because in my mind, it was just another piece of the school day. It's not a midterm exam, so it's different, okay? And I thank you guys for being so well and doing so well with it and being so accepting. You guys did a great job with that, so thank you.
Do we have a motion to accept the student report? Mrs. Bassan? Mr. Warren?
Sorry, I'm waiting for discussion, but that's okay.
Okay.
Keyed in. Mr. Boldrin?
Yes.
Mrs. Basson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hobbiter?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Serena? I'm sorry, he's not. Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
We're ready.
I want to welcome everyone this evening. Thank you for being here. I want to thank all the parents and guardians who were here this evening. But we wouldn't be here complimenting your students without you. We have a wonderful student body. Every month we have an opportunity to compliment those that stand out above the rest of our student body. We're doing some type of work in the community, academic endeavor that brought you to the attention of the staff. Something special. So thank you for being you, and thank the parents for making you who you are. I think you understand what I said, right? A lot of you said. Thank you. And thank the board for giving me this opportunity. And with that, I take great pleasure to focus on our first recipient of our certificate in Wally Bucks for being a member of the All Shore Intermediate Band. And being in sixth grade, to me, just speaks volumes. Donovan Brown, come on up. Just wait 1 second while I read this, because I think it's so special. You were accepted into the group on clarinet and bass clarinet. And you didn't bring either your clarinet or your bass clarinet to me tonight. But maybe you will another time. Okay? Maybe. Thank you for that. His preferred instrument was clarinet. Why? Thank you. That's awesome. And you're going to play at the All Shore Concert in February. This is the second year in a row that you have been successful in making that group. And his scoring clarinet was the third highest among those who auditioned. Wow. So I heard somebody say, wow, that is a wow. That's a big wow. Last year, Donald became the second musician in the All Shore Band, 70s year history, to make the group as a fifth grader. Wow, 70 years. That's amazing. The last person to do so was 50 plus years ago. Awesome. Eric, would you like to come forward? Because he is who he is because of all your hard work. Okay, I just want to say thank you.
You worked really hard.
Come on. You worked hard together. Eric Clark, who's our music teacher at the elementary school, does a great job. And I just want to say thank you for this. This is a great accomplishment. Anything?
I can't say enough about Donovan, and he's always prepared. He works very, very diligently. He works hard. He is very talented, obviously, and humble as well. Just happy to see him continue to grow as a musician. He's definitely a bright point in our music program, which is doing unbelievable things over at the elementary school, and I could not be prouder of all of our students over there in the band program. But Donovan has definitely worked very hard. This is months and months in preparation to take those pieces that he auditioned on two different instruments, take those pieces and to prepare them and basically compete against other students in Monmouth and Ocean County in the Shore area. So it's quite an accomplishment to do it 2 years in a row. Being so young is a huge accomplishment. It speaks volumes, like I said, of his hard work and dedication. So very, very proud of it. Very proud.
Manasquan Board of Education would now like to review our Students of the Month. Students of the Month serve as
models for his or her peers. They are academically motivated, they demonstrate leadership in and out of the classroom with a positive attitude. They're involved in extracurricular activities, and they perform school and community services. Also this evening, we'll focus on ELK Students of the Month. How do we select the ELK Students of the Month? The program is designed to recognize outstanding young men and women for achievements in school and community life, fine arts, hobbies, athletics, church, school, club, and community service. Industry and farming. Their accomplishments should be recognized and praised because of what they do for our community. With that, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan High School Students of the Month from our senior class, Alexandra McWalter. Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan High School, the Student of the Month from our junior class, Lucinda Lisco. I always ask my junior representative if they would like to say something as well. How about some benchmarks?
There were a lot. We didn't have a lot of time.
Okay, so we have to focus on giving you guys more time, even though they're only 15%. So, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan High School Student of the Month from our sophomore class, Jake Holskowitz. Jake? Jake, how are you doing there?
Tell them the truth, your name.
Board of Education, let's congratulate from our freshman class, Gavin Hall. Now, being a freshman, you just experienced the benchmarks for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. So,
no, they were
good, right? It's a word was reasonable. That's awesome. Because I always try to be reasonable. The Manasquan Board of Education also recognizes Teacher of the Month. And I like to put this slide up because I really feel what this says. And teachers at Manasquan do such an exceptional job. It takes a special person to teach a child in class, to just keep his attention in a world that moves so fast, to show a child he is unique, with talents deep inside, to help build his confidence so he can be with pride. To show a little patience when child has lost his way. Charlie feels abandoned and seeing better days. To inspire and to motivate so child can learn and grow. To go into this big, wide world that has its highs and lows. You are a special person. You always give your best. And for every child that has your class, their life is truly blessed. And it's really true. Our life just seems to move faster and faster as technology grows, increases, and gets better and gives us more instant information. And just the other day at a restaurant, I looked around and it seemed like at every table, instead of people having a conversation, had their own, their iPhones out at different times looking at them and punching. So to take children and put them in the classroom in a world like this and see that they get the attention of that individual in front of the classroom, helping them, being that guide in their educational journey, take special people, and we have them here. And tonight, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan High School Eric Wasniewski. Education would like to congratulate Manasquan Elementary School Student of the Month for November, Christopher Run. I didn't know if that was a U or an A. I read it before, and you can see how small the print is. I apologize for my poor. Got it right.
Yeah, when you feel that hard.
Would you like to say anything? You didn't have it anymore.
No, we still have the term. But it's not.
Yeah, good is enough. We should not have you, but I'll kiss her. So thank you very much for being here. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan Elementary School December Student of the Month, Willie Duchamp. Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan Elementary School Teacher of the Month, Jenny Foster. Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan Elementary School Elks Student of the Month, Reese Heron. And from the high school, the Elks Teenager of the Month, Jude Clark, in grade 12.
And next we're going to move to the New Road Construction Project update.
Okay.
Well, the cookies were big, yeah?
Yeah, really. Chocolate chip, Walter's chocolate chip cookies, always make it.
I had that one really enthusiastic vote.
You get one vote.
Let's go with the presentation.
Sorry.
No problems. Okay. Almost everybody's seen this, including board members. So, overall referendum budget, $12,033,754, split $3.8 million at the elementary school and $8.1 million at the high school. Where are we? We're done. There are eight separate projects listed on this overall program summary. All but the voice over IP phone system were bid out as GC projects, and we were able to manage all of these projects to successful completion. The last two projects are the only ones that I've got specific slides for, the elementary school site improvements. The only thing that's changed from the last update we talked about before, just before the holidays, was that the engineer has their final punch list inspection, and we are consolidating our punch list comments and Matt Hudson from the district's facilities group, his comments with the engineer's comments, and we'll provide all of those to your right construction for them to finish off the project. We have recommended a credit change order for
$17,252. This was the remaining amount of unsuitable soils allowance that was built into the contract. And I believe that that credit change order is on the agenda tonight for approval. The high school construction project was awarded a long time ago, the Jaffa construction. It's been about 15 months, 16 months. The project included a slightly under 13,100 square foot addition to the building, extensive renovations. We received the temporary certificate of occupancy, or TCO, about 2 weeks ago, January the 8th. Currently, CAPA is addressing our punch list comments and those of the architect, Harrison Architects. Furniture for the new classrooms is scheduled to arrive tomorrow. So once the furniture moves in, the school can move into the space. The only permit that we're waiting on right now is actually the elevator permit. The contractor is going to operate the elevator for the next 3 days by paying Otis Elevators a ridiculous sum of money for them to have somebody come and press the buttons in the elevators because until such time as we have an elevator permit, we're not allowed to use the elevator. So this would be a nice time to be working for Otis Elevator, but we work for Nero. For the overall high school project, there have been 4 change orders to date. Those change orders add up to just under $100,000, which is 1.4% of the original contract value. Of that $99,531 in change orders, $107,000 of that was for a dust control unit at the Industrial Arts Building. So how are we less than $107,000? We had a credit change order at the end of the job. That was change order request number 4, which was approved at the last board meeting. We have a current unforeseen conditions allowance balance of $37,000. However, we have 2 outstanding change order requests, one of which was for additional cooling for the MDF room. This is the main data frame. For about $20,000 for a 3-ton-8 split system HVAC unit, and then a $2,000 change order for some additional slab support that was needed at the elevator opening. There will be a final change order, a resolving change order with CAPA. This will be another credit change order, probably on the order of about a $14,500 credit. That will zero out the remaining balance that we have from that unforeseen conditions allowance. Some progress photos. First floor main corridor, you can see the new terrazzo floor. Came up looking very nice. Second floor corridor, same. We also have a terrazzo flooring on that. Stairs or doors leading to stair A, and then a really artsy shot of the stairs. Then we've got a picture that's mostly in shadow. I don't have a professional photographer, I just have a construction manager who took a nice picture of the roof space between the existing building and the new building. Then we also have a shot of the interior of the greenhouse, and then just various pictures of some of the lab spaces showing the extensive casework that was installed as part of the GC contract. And last but not least, a beautiful picture showing 2 toilet room lavatories. So currently, we are down to a very part-time involvement with the project as we review CAPA's completion of punch list items, and we are in the process of closing out CAPA's contract. With that, I thank you for your support throughout a successful construction program. Questions, concerns, last minute criticism before you never see
me. Any questions at all? Anything? Good? Lynn?
I just think guys did a great job, as you can see, by on time on budget. And even Joe doesn't have the proper lens to take a good picture with shadows. He did a great job being boots on the ground for us. Yeah. You guys earned my confidence, and you deserve it. So
thank you.
I can't thank you enough for it.
And I thank you and the board and all the staff, administration, students for putting up with a long and at times difficult construction program, but ultimately a very successful one.
Thank you. Board, no questions? Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
That concludes our presentation format, and now we can go into our discussion items for January 22nd regarding the Board of Appeals. Regarding education, curriculum, and technology, you have on the board link the 2019-2020 school year calendar. Are there any questions about that? The association has seen it, the administrators have seen it, and everyone who needs to get some type of criticism about the calendar, move this day or that day, have seen it before it came here. And I actually, this is the second time you are seeing it. Seeing no questions, that will be the calendar that I'll ask you to please vote on. Regarding our turf field project, we are currently discussing the idea of having a ribbon cutting ceremony on March 30th, whereby we will have a breakfast and a dedication and building tours and a 10 o'clock game, girls lacrosse game, on the new field. The new field, as we speak, there are five different things that the engineer sent me this morning regarding the new field. They revolve around the temperature and the fact that they could not put down the pellets that they need to put on the field, the cool play, because it was so cold to get them all broken up. So that has to be done. Also, they need to finish extending the dugouts, which will be a change order because the dugouts, as we speak, don't house the size of our softball team. And because of the new regs, that all the softball players have to be seated in the dugout. And that's just a compliment to us because our teams are so large. So they're working through that. You know about the culvert, and they're developing a letter to send to the town council about the culvert. And every time they open up the wood that separates the lake from draining off underneath our field, it comes out so fast that it's wearing away the bottom of the culvert. That has to be paid attention to. There has to be a substance pumped in there at a cost that we have of $41,000, I think it is, Lynn, that seals that. And the longer we wait, the worse it's going to become. Eventually down the road, that it could cause a problem with playing on the field. However, they're coming out again, they being the suburban engineers, to inspect it on Friday, just to let us know where it is and how much it has eroded since the last time they looked at it. And they will be out monthly until we get an opportunity to fix it. Our intent, Lynn and I, discussed with the board fixing it in next year's budget. However, before we do that, we do want to bring it to the attention, as suburban engineers are, to the town council, because this might be something they want to either help us with or take responsibility for. Questions? Okay. Also included in your board link information was the affiliation agreement between Monmouth University Athletic Training Education and Manasquan. To cut to the chase, it simply is a clinical experience for Monmouth University students who are getting their trainer certification to come during that particular part of their educational journey and work here at Manasquan High School with our trainer. And they reached out to us to ask us if they could do this. We sent this to Michael at the office, so as soon as he approves this, we are going to say, I think it's on the agenda tonight, pending attorney review.
No, it'll be on next month's agenda.
No, it's not on this month. It'll be on next month's agenda. And Michael will look at it, but I think
we've actually looked at it before. We've gotten it in other districts, and we have reached out to Monmouth University with a couple of changes, and we're waiting to hear back from them.
Perfect. Good. So I think it's a compliment to the district. We'll discuss our personnel in executive session. We don't have any policy agenda items. We do have a 2019-2020 budget update,
And with that, I'm going to turn it over to our business administrator, Ms. Coates.
Thank you. Regarding an update, the 1920 departmental budgets were submitted to the business office last week. Per our board-approved budget plan of action, the next step will be for each of the administrators that oversees the budget to meet with Dr. Cajun and I to review that budget submission. And that process will occur over the next 2 weeks. So I'll be reporting again at the February board meeting as to where we are with that. Also, I'd just like to comment under finance. Originally, the audit presentation was scheduled for this evening. It has been moved to the February board meeting. We do anticipate at that time the audit will be 100% complete and submitted to the state. And if you recall from prior board meetings, I did report that the deadline for the audit was moved back this year because there was information that the state disseminates and they were very late in getting that information to the auditors. And also just one more piece of information. For board members that did not make the last board meeting, you should find an ethics form that requires your signature sitting by your laptop. So if you could please sign that and turn it back in to me before you leave this evening, that would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Moving right along to our buildings and grounds and facilities. We have a facilities committee report from Colin Warren, the chairperson. Colin?
Thank you. So the committee has met twice so far since our last meeting, primarily to discuss all building and grounds and maintenance projects. However, since our last meeting, the top priority has been the proposed referendum for March. As part of that, for our HVAC air quality kind of referendum that we're looking at, we've met with the committee has actually met with both the architect and mechanical engineer. The mechanical engineer and architect have gone through the building and kind of started to put together numbers for estimates. They're going to be providing all of that information to us on Monday. We have a meeting Monday the 28th to review that. Once we review and make recommendations, it's basically what we've asked is for an itemized list of all the items that they're proposing. And then the committee will meet after to make sure we make recommendations to the board on which of those items we want to include in the referendum, and then we'll continue the referendum process.
Thank you, Colin. Are there any questions at all? Great. Also in your packet on your web link is the Fires in New Jersey 2015. They're basically a group of statistics that focus on page 62 starts a discussion about schools and exactly why fires occur, how many fires occur in each county. As we're moving into this next phase of our referendum, I just thought that would be information that would be pertinent for you to see. As you go through that, if you do have any questions about that, I'll gladly focus on it. But I thought it was some good information. They don't have anything for 2018. That's why I brought you 2015. That ends our committee of the whole thing. Can I move right into the superintendent's report?
You can.
Thank you. Regarding our enrollment, our total enrollment as of today is 1,519 students. In the high school, we have 973. At the elementary school, we have 546. In regards to our fire drill reports, on December 7th, we had a fire drill at the high school. On December 18th, we had a lockdown drill. We have also now have alternative schools, lockdown drills and fire drills. They now serve outside of the high school experience. We've decided to have drills in there as well, even though it's not mandated by the state of New Jersey. In the elementary school, on December 12th, we had a lockdown drill. On December 20th, we had a fire drill. Our harassment, intimidation, and bullying monthly report at the high school, we had one confirmed incident of harassment, intimidation, and bullying. At the elementary school, we had one incident that was not confirmed. And if there's any questions on those, we can talk about it, but alrighty. Seeing no questions, I'm now gonna turn the floor over to the Director of Curriculum and Instruction for their monthly report. Ms. Gorinsky.
Hi everyone, good evening. Leslie, Mrs. Kenny and I finished up our visits to the sending districts where we talked with them about the freshman class. They were eager to know the strengths and areas that they needed to work on to help their students when coming to the high school to transition better. All the meetings were very productive. they would like to continue articulating with us and are also interested in sending some of their seventh graders over for some programs over here to encourage them to come to the high school. By eighth grade, the freshman for a day is extremely successful, but a lot of students have already made up their minds where they're going. So we want to try and get the younger students, the sixth and seventh graders. So we're working on some of that. Mrs. Kennedy talked to them about the upcoming registration of our eighth graders, and I'm sure she'll talk about that in more detail. We're having the honors placement test for the incoming freshman class for English, social studies, and biology on March 4th, and we're going to start getting information out to the sending districts about that. You've heard about the benchmarks from the student perspective. Right now, the middle school students, 7th and 8th graders, are taking their midterms, and we finished our benchmarks today. Watching the students, I think they took them extremely seriously. They worked hard. When you walk by the classrooms, most students were working for the full 74 minutes that they were being tested. Many students attended the instructional labs before the benchmarks to get assistance. Looking at the results, couldn't hear everything that the students were saying, but the results matched perfectly with what the students were doing in class. So we didn't see any surprises where a test was too hard or the kids were struggling. They all overall did really well from the grades that I looked at. We had a maternity leave go out early, so I was looking at her classes and grading her classes, and they matched up absolutely perfectly with what the kids were doing in class. And it was interesting to see how the benchmark, which is 15% of the marking period, affected the classroom grade, and basically their grades pretty much stayed the same. So it was a nice look-see for the teachers to see where the kids are as far as instruction goes. Right now we're continuing to prepare for CUSAC, which we have in 2 weeks. We're getting all our paperwork together. Curriculum is about 50% up on Canvas, and high school's almost done, and Mr. Burge just sending over the elementary school, so we're in good shape for that. As far as professional development goes, we have a full day in service on Monday. We are, overall for the professional development, we're continuing talking within our departments about personalized learning, different pathways to success for the students, as well as our co-teaching model, which has, after our workshops last year, have been highly successful. When you walk by the classrooms, you would not know who is our ICR teacher and who is our general ed teacher. The parity that they've established has been really remarkable in the short time that they've been working on that. Across the street, they've been working on math strategies with presenters, and they're going to do that again on Monday. Our PLCs, our professional learning communities, are working on both sides of the street where our teachers are collaborating, talking about instructional strategies, looking at student data to see the areas where they need to change their instruction to meet the needs of their students. We will be reviving our Professional Development Academy and looking at what we're going to be doing for next year, at which we're going to align with the building goals, which is what we're looking at right now. We've also, last thing, been talking about the new courses for next year. Mrs. Kennedy is working on the course selection booklet. The wish list for new courses is long, but we have to make sure that it fits in our schedule and that we have to see what our student interest is. So we have some nice new courses which we think will really attract our students.
Dunbar?
Okay.
Any questions? Now to our Director of Technology and Human Resources. Please.
Thank you.
most of our work in technology of late has been preparing the new wing, you know, for occupancy. So we were involved over this past weekend with some of the access controls, as well as getting phone speakers, things like that, up and running. We'll be installing the interactive whiteboards and stuff in the coming weeks, getting that space prepared for occupancy after the February break. So that's really what we're focused on.
Thank you. Now, a report from our Director of School Counseling Services.
Hey, everybody. Barbara and I actually have been doing a lot of things together. What she said is a lot of stuff that's overlapping. Across the street, we are working on our INRS committee and really making sure that we are tightening up the committee, working with the child study team, having joint meetings with them to really streamline our INRS process and the referral system. We moved to Frontline at the beginning of last year, and it's been a successful transition across the street. So we're still trying to streamline that process and really make sure that we're serving students, you know, the best way using that new system. Over here across the street, a couple weeks ago, we had Dr. Mikey Fallon come in. He spoke to all the students. He did a presentation. We really, you know, between the students and the staff members, got wonderful feedback about this presentation. We booked him very early on at the beginning of the year because his presentations are, you know, really, really well respected, and he books up fast. The message that he, you know, presented to the students was essentially that they are all capable of transforming the world for the good, but the work starts from within. So the students really enjoyed that. It was a very interactive experience, and students gave us great feedback in the counseling office. In terms of marking periods, we are at the halfway point. The marking periods, new marking period 3 starts tomorrow. With the change to the new schedule, our office is still taking some course changes for second semester courses. So we're, of course, honoring any student who's looking to make a change for a half-year course. We've been working on that. As Barbara said, we're planning the course offering booklet. It's got to encompass a little bit more this year. In terms of new courses and new procedures, because as we move to the full year courses, we noticed certain things that needed to be kind of changed in terms of timeline, the drop add policy, how we're going to take a look at a student who's looking to potentially drop a class a little bit later in the year because they have that class for a longer period of time. So these are all conversations that we're having and looking at, you know, putting some more information into the course guide so that the parents and the students are aware of before they schedule. Getting ready for scheduling the month of February and March. What we're going to do this year is for the current students, the counselors will be going into the classrooms to explain the new courses, the old courses, the sequences, the curriculum, and the planning. They're going to have presentations to individual classes. A couple weeks later, after all of the forms go home, you know, decisions are made, they're going to have the classrooms come down to the media center and essentially schedule the students right here and there, here and then. So basically, a student will leave here having all of their courses inputted into the computer after having a one-on-one conversation with the counselor. So, you know, clearly there's a lot more time between March and the beginning of the school year, so any changes that need to be made can certainly be made at that time. But the idea is to have that one-on-one conversation with the counselor and have the counselor put the course in so that we're taking the guesswork out of it for the students and the parents. And then in terms of the K-8 districts, we're doing the same thing over there. We're scheduling 2 meetings. I believe all of the setting districts have scheduled meetings with us already. The first meeting will be the counselors going out, explaining the courses, explaining when the honors test is, explaining the process. And the second meeting will be the counselors going back, inviting the parents of the 8th graders to the meetings at the K-8s to sit with the counselor and input the courses. Again, to take the guesswork out of the process and, you know, have true tallies as to courses that we are able to run. And so that will be here before you know it. And then on to April, that's going to start our push for testing. So.
Barbara, I think I have one question for you.
Sure.
With these benchmark tests, how are they shown on the report card? Are they just integrated into the grade, or is
it? Yes.
So there's no separate? Like you may see a final.
No, if you go into your student's parent portal into the grade book, it'll be listed in the grade book. It's 15% of the marking period grade itself, so it will not appear on the report card.
Okay.
But you can see the results in the grade
in the
book.
In the grade book.
Benchmark assessment.
Okay.
But there's not a separate midterm exam grade as there was in the past when
right.
we did benchmark.
Before I came, I mean, 6 years ago, and this district did away with midterms. So for us to put a 15% grade for a marking period in a separate column on a report card, the first thing people thought was, oh, we're going back to midterm exams.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, because you had good reasons to move away from that, so why go back? So it's only worth 15%. It's actually just should just be another test.
I mean, when you look at the grades, that's how it rolled out.
Teachers wanted more time for this, so that's why it became a 74-minute period. When we first sat down and tried to plan it out, it was all going to be 58 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't work that way. And that's the kind of staff you have. They're very dedicated. And the students take everything very seriously, so it's just makes it a magical place. Thank you. Seeing no questions, that's the end of the superintendent's report.
Do we have a motion to accept the superintendent's report? Mr. Burns? Mr. Hovder?
Mr. Boldman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassam?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovder?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Ms. Carey?
Public forum on the agenda items. Time may be allocated for the public for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right for its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portion of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on the items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to speak?
I would.
Sure.
John Devereaux, 613 Gore Avenue, Brielle, New Jersey. I just have a couple questions on the turf field. And I know you gave a little presentation tonight, so that's it's good to get some updates on that, but I do have a couple questions. Number one would be, was the layout of the field approved by the NJSIAA? Like the issue that I see is that you have a foul line and you have a soccer line within 6 inches of one another, give or take. And I just want to know if that was presented to somebody at the state saying, this is what we're going to do, and this is going to be the way we're going to lay out the field. Is this acceptable? Because there's 6 fields on that turf field. Anybody I've talked to can't find more than 4, and we have 6. So that would be my first question would be, has that been approved by the state to be eligible to use the different sports that would be on that field?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Suburban Engineering, Joe Perillo, who's our engineer of record for the field.
Yep.
Created that field in regards to the guidelines that the state has set forward for the specifications that the fields need for both lacrosse, field hockey, softball, football, because our freshmen and JV football players will be playing on it, and soccer. So he then came to us by laying out the field when he found out what we wanted to play on it, and he made it according to all their specifications. One of the reasons why we have the big foul pole there is so everybody knows that's the softball foul pole that's there. And that was purposely done by that, for that reason. So the answer to your question, yes.
But that doesn't answer my question. He built it to the specifications.
Correct.
That's, I understand that point.
Right.
But did he build it with the understanding that an umpire is going to have to make a judgment call on what white line is the foul line and what white line is the soccer line? That's my question.
Okay, and that question I'm going to have to ask him directly because
okay.
I always want to be honest.
Yes.
And I can't sit here and say yes to that or no to that, because I don't know if he did that. But I will find out for you.
Yes, that would be great. I love to hear that.
Good.
Number two is, there's hearsay that's out there, and I wasn't here years ago. Mm-hmm. But somewhere, people tell me in the minutes, football field came up.
Right.
And it was said that it would not be used for football. And now, obviously, it's being used for football. I never saw the minutes, so I don't know that for a fact. But my question would be, well, now you answer the question. So it's going to be used for freshmen and JV football.
Right.
Okay.
This community has made a commitment to keeping the multipurpose field, the high school, the upper field, grass.
Yep.
And we have a commitment in the budget to resod every 3 years. As I made my tour around the state as well and looked at fields that Raritan had and other places, Barnegat, and they had beautiful, meticulous sod fields. They had large areas where they could have the other teams play and practice.
Sure.
Especially when it's inclement weather. So in order to ensure that occurred, instead of having our freshmen and JV go to the Army camp, which they still can, and do their games there, we decided to make the field 100 yards, which we made us a need to build a retaining wall. We did everything correctly,
mm-hmm.
and so now they can go there and play. So it was basically done, because we're challenged with land. I don't have to tell you that, you know.
Yeah.
And so we could keep the sod field for any time we wanted to have a lacrosse game. We had over 1,000 people, or we had a soccer that needed to be there, or football on Saturdays, so to maintain it.
So. That main football field.
Yes, multi-purpose athletic field.
No, the main baseball field. The main football field.
Yes, it's a multi-purpose field. I hesitate to call it just
a
football
field. It's a multi-purpose field.
Yes.
So the biggest piece of property we have behind the school.
Good.
It's for basically four home games, a couple lacrosse games, and a couple soccer games. But now you've taken the softball field and you've put six fields onto that turf. That's what we've done. I'm just trying to make it clear, because a lot of people are talking, and I know I believe there's some of the people that might come to the next meeting to ask some of these questions. So I'm just it seems a little strange to me that football was put down there.
Well,
because if you take the football lines off, honestly, outside of the foul lines, it's not that bad. But the football lines going right across that softball field is going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
For the girls to play softball on that field, and I haven't seen that in any other place that I've seen.
Well, that was my intent wasn't to make it difficult, but and I just want to give you my rationale for it. And I know we're not supposed to be doing this, but I think that we needed a track.
Yeah.
We needed a place that our lacrosse team could play the way all the other teams in the state are playing now. They're not playing on sod. They're playing on. So you know.
Yeah, I get it.
And field hockey's coming up. And if you go to a field hockey tournament, you'll see they're playing on turf. So.
Okay, so that's going to lead to my next question.
Yeah,
I have two more questions.
Okay.
Things we've heard is that there's going to be no fence. Will there be a fence on the softball field?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Let me tell you how it's going to be a 4-foot fence.
Whatever
on the concrete.
The other fence that they had there was fine.
Okay.
On turf.
But it's not going to be going across the field. We're going to have a 4-foot fence going on the concrete in the back. And in talking with the athletic director, talking with the softball coach, we're talking about, we had intended on putting a fence around the back as well. That you get the fences that go right on the turf. Obviously you're asking the right questions. So the coach said he didn't want it. I don't know why.
So I will reach out to the coach at Denver. On a turf field, you have to have a fence. A ground ball is a home run. It won't work. In grass, it can work, depending on how you mow the grass.
I see the logic behind it.
You'd have to have a fence. Okay, so I think they should have a fence. And my last question was Title IX. It says that the high school has to have a Title IX coordinator. Who is the Title IX coordinator for Madison High School?
The Title IX coordinator would be the supervisor of athletics. Would have to be.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just asking a question. So that would be the AD.
We have a supervisor of athletics, but you can call him an AD. It would be Mr. Cahill.
Mr. Cahill.
Yeah.
Okay. I think those are all my my questions about the trophy.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move to the Manasquan general items. Does anyone need anything removed on from numbers 13 to 21? Do we have a motion for 13 to 21? Mrs. Pacella? Mr. Helbiter?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Pacella?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Helbiter?
Yes.
Mr. Libretto?
Abstain.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
For the Manasquan sending districts, does anyone have any, need anything singled out for items 22 through 35? Do we have a motion for 22 through 35? Mr. Balderman? Mr. Warren?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Pacella?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Helbiter?
Yes.
Mr. Ungoliant?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone need to discuss any old or new business? Okay. So that brings us to our second public forum. Would anyone like to speak on any items either on the agenda or not on the agenda? All right, that'll bring us to our executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron N. Baer, Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides that the Manasquan Board of Education hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or in one of nine subject matters listed in Section B of the Act. And where it is recommended by the superintendent of that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session this date in Manasquan, New Jersey to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session, and whereas the length of executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business, and whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest is in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. So tonight, we will go into executive session, and we will be discussing confidential matters per statute or court order, a student matter and a security matter, litigation on contract matters, discussing professional services, and personnel matters, hiring, resignation, leave of absence. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mrs. Pacella, second. Mr. Burns?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we staying here?
Mr. Burns, second. Mrs. Pacella? All right, so Manasquan personnel. Do we have a motion for item 39? Mr. Hoviter, second. Mr. Balderman?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Pacella?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoviter?
Yes.
Mr. Libretto?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carrie?
Manasquan sending districts personnel, do we have a motion for items 40, 41. Ms. McGarry? Sorry, Ms. Passone?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Passone?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patanik?
Yes.
Mr. Hobbin?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mr. LaFredo?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Do we have a motion to adjourn? Ms. Passone, second?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?